Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Jay Zalawoski.
My only fear is that if they don't sell and some of these unsustainable numbers start to dry up, as they predictably will, and they're going to finish 10th and not have a good pick or be in the playoffs, then you get nothing.
What's the mirage?
Well, like, the power play, as good as it's been, their shooting percentage on the power play is 28%. That will regress, but even strength, they're a very average team right now.
That's the one thing that a good power play deodorizes.
It does, but I wonder how long it can sustain. Even though the power play is very effective, their high danger chances are still 23rd over the stretch of dominance. But you're right, a great power play can get you where you need to go. And if they're banking on it staying at a 28% shooting percentage, they're going to be let down.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We will talk to Mark Lazarus about those Blackhawks at 10:40. We'll do the midday midway at 11. Chris Capuano at 11:40. Chris Herring of 5:38 at noon. We'll talk some NBA with us. And we've got a pair of tickets to see the Bulls and the Grizzlies Wednesday, February 13th. You've got to be listening if you want to win. 312-644-6767. That's our number at WSCR, The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. It's where you listen to us live. We're streaming 670thescore.com. Texting, sexting, 67011. You want to send something, we will reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1McKnight. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. You must download the radio.com app.
Viva Las Vegas.
To stream the Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page, and watch us at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Brian Gertz, he's walking by carrying tripods. And,
what?
Yeah, I just saw him. I don't know what he's doing. He's very urgent.
Actually carrying tripods?
Yeah, he's moving with
multiple tripods.
One in each hand.
We have multiple tripods.
It's not
here.
Like Shane with the coat rack. He's actually, I don't think Brian's creating content to amuse himself.
He could,
but he's doing it for
wanted to.
More important reasons, but he is moving with great purpose and alacrity. So that's the video feed at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live. Producers Jay Zawoski.
February 23rd. Bulls and Celtics, and it's the Black History Month game presented by Crown Royal. For tickets, visit bulls.com. I used to like Crown Royal, too.
Did you?
Yeah, the soft drink. I really did. I never see it. You see it?
Crown Royal?
Yeah.
Royal Crown. The Crown Royal? I'm like, what are you
Crown
talking
Royal.
About?
No, that's it.
Oh my! Maybe you've had some Crown Royal right here.
Yeah,
you need to tell me something.
Okay, Royal Crown. Royal Crown is RC Cola.
That's right. Right, RC Cola.
Crown Royal is the blended rye whiskey, the Canadian whiskey.
It wasn't RC Cola. It wasn't like a primary investor of that. A former astronaut.
What?
Yeah. Well, the one of the investors.
Are we already
into
here?
RC Cola. Well, it doesn't matter. I'll figure it out.
Is it Frank Borman? I mean,
no, I think it was
Ed White.
Was it one of the
Mercury Seven?
I thought so. I thought it was. Honest to God, I thought it was.
John Glenn is on the board of Royal Crown Cola.
Not anymore.
Or he was.
Okay. If he still is,
no,
I don't know
available.
if he's up to his fiduciary responsibilities at this point. But
has not hit a board meeting in years.
Yeah, so
he's still voting in Chicago, though.
What a jerk.
The guy misses all these board meetings at some point. You got to wonder what's going on there. Somebody have a wellness check, but okay. John Glenn, there you go. But Crown Royal is not Royal Crown. The two could be mixed, theoretically. Although that'd be very sweet because it's already a pretty sweet whiskey.
Yeah, it's too much sugar.
Yeah,
it's a lot of sugar.
On the board, Rick Camp.
Happy birthday. What's your name in there?
Take a bite out of it while it's lit.
While it's lit.
Say, oh, I'm kidding. I can't.
How about the face plant here? The face plant here.
Yeah. I can't believe people coming up and people. Yeah, that's Bill Walton on live television.
Of course it is.
Looking at a cupcake with a lit birthday candle stuck in the middle, and he ate it. He ate the lit candle. He put the whole cupcake in his mouth without blowing the candle out.
I mean, the guy's used to having flame near his face, right? That's not a foreign concept for him. You would assume he's just ready to risk that kind of danger.
I don't know.
My life has been forever altered since we had Benetti on the show a little while ago, and he gave us the Bill Walton save it for the air comment when he introduced himself.
Mm-hmm. He said, "Hi, I'm Jason. Save it for the air."
All right. Thanks, Bill.
In the back, he does the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz.
Music took my ears, took my hands, my voice, and my soul. And it led me to all of you and to my little monsters who I love so much.
Believe it or not, what's it, Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Was following us, and we were on her site. Because she was behind us, because she calls her guys the little monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Blammers.
Right. Then she got the okey-doke popcorn out Blammers. And made a sandwich out of it.
Blammers.
This segment's brought to you by the National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. Visit Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic in Schaumburg, February 22nd to 24th. The nation's largest upland hunting and conservation expo focuses on bird dogs, wild game cooking, and hunting heritage. With over 400 vendors and great seminars, Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic has something for you. Visit pheasantfest.org. I had a moment today reading some stuff about Yu Darvish, and I thought, oh, yeah, Yu Darvish.
Right. He's the pitcher, yeah?
Right, because at this time last year, like, the Cubs got Yu Darvish. They did it. They outbid everybody. And then he was bad and then hurt
and then bad
weird.
Again.
And is he not using an interpreter now?
No, I don't know whether he's using I would imagine he's still using an interpreter.
I think he's talking now.
I mean, I know he's able.
Now, this is what kind of I
realized
something.
Like to get it lost in translation, though.
So this is Darvish being quoted directly here.
Okay.
It's not saying through an interpreter.
All right.
And it does say, he said, "I couldn't do anything last year for the Cubs," said Darvish, who conducted the interview in English. "I really love the fans in this organization, but I couldn't do anything. And I want to do something for Chicago and the Cubs." I think, you know, we got some of the sound. But he says he's been working with Tommy Hotovy. He said, "We are checking spin rate and velocity and then comparing last year in spring training to this year. Last year was 88 in the bullpen. This year, 91, 92. My velocity is going up, and we're talking about that. And they expect the velocity should climb to the mid-90s range. Why weren't we more alarmed that he was only throwing 88?
Because it's spring training.
I know,
yeah,
but
because it's spring training. I can't dismiss the fact that we dismissed the alarm then, but spring training, you know, John Lester goes through that dead arm phase every year, 5.5 weeks through spring training. And sometimes he doesn't pitch, and sometimes he does pitch. Sometimes it hurts, and sometimes he bitches, and sometimes he pitches. And that's just what John Lester does. I think everybody goes through at least a period of their career where that happens. And Lester's always talked about it as something that's happened every single spring for him. So I think that's probably why.
But you know my little, like that little aha moment in members of AHA, they're just saying, oh, yeah. And he's their only starter that throws hard.
Yu Darvish? Ostensibly.
No, factually, if he's sitting 95, if he's expected to sit 95, 96, that's it. Hamels will touch 93.
Hamels sat 94 for most of his Cubs work last season. I know. I checked this before I left for Vegas last week.
Check your police work there, Lou.
Feel free. 94.71 was the last month of his average fastball velocities. And you can trust me on that because I've had no sleep and a lot of coffee, so I'm remembering everything. But his fastball was up once he went over to the Cubs and really was up, I think, in his last three starts with the Rangers too. So that velocity tick helped. His work with the changeup helped a bit. But like you, I would put Cole Hamels toward the bottom range of 93, probably sitting on that, at least for my expectations. It's just that it was a big tick up for him because he was right around 90 from most of his Rangers work last year.
Yeah, they have the third slowest throwing rotation in MLB. We did that story where they we traced the average fastball velocity of currently constructed starting rotations, and the Cubs are the third slowest throwing, and they have a catcher who doesn't frame. That's what adds up to the 500 record in the projections. Yeah, that's why the projections end up looking like they look. But did they lose a win?
Did they lose a win? You can't lose wins.
Yeah, I thought
put those in the bank.
I thought Prospectus might have actually taken a win from
them. That's one of a few things they actually can't take away from you. Once you get the win, you keep the win.
No, I think they lost a projected win.
Well, you know what that is. I mean, we talked about it. You and I both wrote about it. There are, in the rotation, a lot of guys on the wrong side of an aging curve.
Oh, no, we know why.
Baseball Prospectus trusts their aging curves. More often, they're right. And when, you know, the expectation is when the Cubs rotation goes 180 innings for each guy, that those, you know, that sort of longevity and that kind of consistency will just outweigh the projections and they'll be fine. They'll be a playoff team.
That's
the expectation.
That's what they're betting on. But if Yu Darvish has a representative Yu Darvish season and they actually are getting what they were paying for a year ago, it's gonna buck a lot of projections. I'm waiting to see what the other systems come out with too, because it isn't just all about what Pakoda says.
Of course it's not all about that, but it is. I think each one of those projection systems gives you an interesting jumping off point for conversation about the team. Like, you're going to see in each one, oh God, 81 wins, 82 wins for the Cubs. What would have to go wrong there? What could you still do? I think, you know, anymore, given the last two off seasons of baseball inactivity that we've seen, those projection systems stand out in a different way. Okay, the Cubs have a rotation that's projected to suffer from an aging curve or an offense that's going to this or a defense that's going to that. Well, with over 100 free agents out there, most of which are on the fringe level, you know, the guys that could help you here or there, the specific pieces you could pop in a place or two, you can fix those things. You understand? So it gives a fan base something to yell about, like, oh, go grab a Derek Holland if he's out there or something, because you need that on your squad. Not saying the Cubs do, but somebody does. And the Giants did.
I've got Cole Hamels here per Fangraphs in 2018 with a fastball that averaged 92.
Yeah, I've got the month-by-month breakdown. It was 93 in August, September. I'm sorry, October 93, then 93, and then 94. I'm just saying his last 3 months ticked up with the Cubs.
Okay.
There you go.
I will still say that Yu Darvish is the only guy who is expected to be anything close to what MLB would call a hard thrower.
I would agree with that still.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein, talking a little bit of baseball. Got an opportunity to do that. I watched college basketball over the weekend. I watched some hockey over the weekend and played snow golf.
I watched all of those things, but at the MGM Sportsbook.
Ah.
And I'll tell you what. Used to be, last time I went to a sportsbook in Vegas, they brought drinks around for you. That is not the case at sportsbooks anymore.
I thought you had a hack for this.
I do have a hack for this, and the MGM has discovered my hack.
Ah.
They have unhacked my hack.
Damn.
So you've got to put a hundo down on any combination of bets to get the one free drink ticket. So we were...
Wow.
Yeah, the Bloody Marys were very expensive.
But if you don't know what time it is, why would you be drinking Bloody Marys?
Tradition. Because that's the way it's always been done. Those aren't dangerous words in any language,
okay,
are they?
Okay.
Yeah, it just felt like Bloody Mary time.
All right. He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. 312-644-6767. Much to discuss today on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bernstein and McKnight with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And yes, apparently Yu Darvish is just speaking in English now and just doing interviews.
Some guy, that's important for a lot of players as they transition from one language to another, or so, at least start working in both. I shouldn't say transition, that kind of downplays one language.
What does that do for our level of empathy? Because if you remember, let's go back and if we trace what happened with Darvish, look, Yu Darvish is here. This is great. This is awesome. The Cubs are going to win the World Series. They got Yu Darvish. And
well, that was 80% of the Yu Darvish signing. Well, the other 20% was they should have kept Jake Arrieta, and I didn't want this in the first place, and I want Jake back and all that stuff. Well, I mean, we had to deal with that, too. That's going to matter. If we're going to talk about empathy toward Yu Darvish, that's going to play in.
Well, the reality started to set in when Yu Darvish wasn't very good. It wasn't throwing very hard, wasn't striking people out, wasn't lasting into the fifth inning, wasn't getting twice through the order before they had to take him out of games. And then he's kind of hurt, and this is a 75 and sunny. We start hearing that. We start hearing that, yeah, things have to be perfect in his world. Then he has a minor league stint. He goes to South Bend.
Remember what the reports were after that minor league stint? I told you, too. He went to that minor league start, and I said, here's what happens every single minor league rehab start of a professional player's career.
Yes, you warned us.
Throw, everything will be fine. Everything is going to be great, and it'll work. And then that wasn't what happened afterward. On one hand, I could count minor league rehab starts that came out with reports the way Yu Darvish's minor league rehab start came out.
That he left with pain.
That was not good.
Yeah, not
very
great.
Bad.
He had trainers are visiting him on the mound, and he is leaving with discomfort.
Sorry, we did not bring our cliches to South Bend with us, and we will not be giving them to you.
And maybe a lot of us questioning him and the fact that there was something wrong. They found they had to go in there. They had to debride the area to clean out the elbow. And there was clearly something that was irritating him. And he wasn't making it up. And he wasn't just trying to be perfect. He wasn't being a diva about it. That maybe if he's speaking in his own words, it gives you a full reset on the relationship that he's going to have with fans here and some of the expectations. It's a great idea. It would be something that if you would advise a client from a PR perspective, and boy, the Cubs are doing some PR cleanup right now.
They
boy.
Should. Yes, they need to.
They need more than this.
Of course they
and
do.
It's
gotta start here though. I don't know where else you start.
Yeah, but I think it's a very solid move for Darvish to say, here I am in my words with a very difficult second language here. Go ahead and is it his second language?
I don't know if he speaks. I don't another language. His dad is Iranian.
Farsi? Yeah, he's half
I don't know,
Iranian, and I don't know if he's got any facility with Farsi.
I'd have to look that. I don't know it off the top of my head. That's what made when I was working with the White Sox, Eloy Jimenez came up. You know, they bring all their top prospects up there, the big minor leaguers up for a day late in the season, something like that, just to meet the press. And Eloy was there a day after, the day before Kopech, as I recall. And Aloy's sitting there working in English, talking with reporters. And being kind of fearless about it, too. Just talking about stuff and things that he feels about being around and not just baseball. I mean, mostly baseball-based emotion and feeling and whatnot. But he's there working in English as a, 20-year-old kid at the time, something like that. And I remember thinking how impressive that is. Not just from a, an intelligence standpoint, but also from a chutzpah standpoint. I mean, I don't blame a guy at all for working through an interpreter. I want you to know exactly what I said as best I can. I don't want it to get twisted because I picked the wrong word.
Right.
Believe me, I'm right there. So there's nothing against him for working with an interpreter, but when you see it happen, especially in baseball, and even more so I would say in Spanish because there is such a large Spanish-speaking community in baseball, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just not the same size as a Japanese-speaking base. But it's just it can be very comfortable for guys to work in a second language in that game.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be like Bud Norris here, who was the jerk on the Orioles who was yelling at who was throwing banana chips at Felix PA.
Oh, who's that?
Who's that horrible guy?
Oh, was that the catcher? The dude?
No, he's an outfielder. He was an outfielder, but I'm just saying, talk more English. We speak English.
That's,
I'm not
that's
saying that.
Stupid.
I'm just saying, as far as understanding your connection,
yeah,
to the game and to the average fan, there is something politically that carries a lot of weight there. Saying I'm putting in the effort, and it's not going to be perfect, but I'm going to do my best to do it. In Barrington, it is Dan on the score.
What's up, Dan?
I think he hung up.
We lost
What's up,
Dan.
Man?
Yeah, I think we lost him. So feel free to try again.
His question was, what specifically now should the Cubs do to fix the Joe Ricketts comments?
I don't know. You can't unring this bell. There is no fixing for a lot of reasons. And I had some conversations over the weekend with some Muslim Cub fans.
Oh, yeah?
And it's you can't put this toothpaste back in the tube. It wasn't just one thing that was said. It was the depth, the breadth, and the intensity of the dehumanization?
You know, I had mentioned when we were on talking about it last week that I thought that some of the reparative efforts, some of the, you know, helping out in communities and going to that fan base, the Muslim Cubs fan base, and making amends as best you can and showing that you're active and engaged and you want that segment of your fan base to be active and engaged as well, that though it might ring hollow to some, it would still be important work to do. Just because it may look like some eyewash doesn't necessarily mean it's the wrong thing to do. But in talking with you this morning in your, what was it, emails back and forth with some Cubs mm-hmm. fans who happen to be Muslim, that it's not being received like that. And that's no. probably my own blind spot there. I figured that would be decent work to do because it is something. It is positive effort in the right direction, meant well, though it does come from some real horrible emails from a guy that's affiliated with the Cubs but not making decisions.
Yeah, people have been listening to me and whatever show with which I've been affiliated for the last several years. Have no. Usually when we talk Bulls, you hear from a guy named Amir, who he's come out to a bunch of our events too.
Sure, yeah, and, yeah, yeah, of course.
And Amir said, here's what he told me. He said, it's not just the racism. It's the level of intensity of Joe Ricketts' racism toward us that is going to be hard for someone like me to ever want to contribute to anything that would increase the value of the Cubs as an asset in his portfolio. Mm. And he says it's a start, and it sent to me a letter that had been sent out by Ahmad Rahab and regarding his meeting with Tom Ricketts and Julian Green at the CARE Chicago office and the Muslim Civic Coalition. Dr. Kamran Hussein was there, who is the president of MCC, the mosque that's over there at like Elston and Pulaski, I want to say right near there. And they talked about the meeting and they talked about how deeply this wounded many people in the Muslim community, many Cub fans in the Muslim community. And he described himself as positive and hopeful. But they believe that this is the start, and what Ahmed was asking for are actual concrete steps. There are going to be follow-up meetings here, but this is a much bigger deal than I think a lot of people outside the community have imagined. This is a deep and serious wound that is incredibly unfortunate. And like I say, it's a bell that cannot be unrung.
I hope they It seems like the team understands the severity. And if they don't, they'd better. Because that's going to be a thing that cleaves, you know? I mean, that will be something that lasts and that wounds.
Oh, and thank you, Luke Scott. That's the jerk I'm thinking of.
Oh, Luke Scott. Beard.
Yes,
yeah.
Luke Scott was the guy that called the Dominican players. I don't know what he
had. And he had just come off. He had just when these comments came out, he had just come off like a really big 2.5 weeks of performance and production. He was like featured on some MLB show or something like that. And then
Thank you.
Of a sudden, here comes the everything about talk
yes.
more English. And Luke Scott's an idiot.
630 says Luke Scott is the debag.
He is the debag. The debag, so, with the beard.
When we come back, let's hear from you, Darvish, in his own words.
Perfect.
Because this is that time now. This year, you are going to hear from him. He is talking to you. Those barriers have been knocked down.
Yeah.
And good for him. So let's hear from him in a moment. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.